Yes, it is Wednesday, March 22. This is the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio. A very good morning to you if you are just tuning in wherever and however you are listening. Last night, Felice Kaufusi found guilty at the judiciary, out for 4 weeks. Massive blow for the Dolphins, particularly ahead of the Battle of Brisbane this Friday night against the Broncos. The Storm, Jerome Hughes, also unsuccessful at the judiciary. He gets 2 weeks for dangerous contact on Tanner Boyd. The Roosters, Fletcher Baker, he got off a high tackle charge against Campbell Graham. Well, Cameron Munster's been named, Hughes out, but the game between the Storm and the Tigers, a lot of positional changes there at the Tigers. So they have made the changes that were forecast yesterday in that, they've dropped David Nofaluma. Brandon Wakeham and Luke Brooks will play in the halves together. Adam Dewey's been named at fullback. Charlie Staines on the wing. Isaiah Papali'i is back after suspension. And Dane Laurie's back up after a knee injury in the 14 jersey. As Cameron Munster, as I mentioned, has been named after that broken finger. I reckon he's still 50-50. It's been suggested, though, Cameron Munster, whether he'll actually play. But with Hughes now out, that certainly puts pressure on the Storm. And it's particularly, they'll be hoping Munster is back there with no Hughes. But what do you make of the changes made, Loz, by the Tigers?
Oh, I think it was inevitable. I think you only have to look at the way they played towards the back end of that game on Sunday against the Bulldogs when Wakeham came on. They played some really good football. Now, whether he can do that when he starts or not, we're unsure. But they had to make a change because 0-3 was not the start they were looking for. They looked as though they were a bit of a ramble there at times. They weren't all in sync. There were times that Appy was looking for someone to run onto the ball. He was looking for a half to be the dominant playmaker. They weren't on the advantage line. He had no idea who it was supposed to go to. We saw Brooks and Dewey combination not really working and not really challenging the line at all. They got caught on tackle five with wrong options. So they had to do something, the West Tigers. So they've done that, and we see how it plays out this weekend against Melbourne. And I said it earlier, I think if Munster doesn't play this week for Melbourne, I think the Tigers can win. If Munster plays, I think he'll be that guy that's able to get Melbourne across the line, but they're not playing great at all. Their defence has been very poor. They've conceded more soft tries than I've seen in a long while, Melbourne.
Massive game Saturday night, Souths and Manly, and it's sure to be an emotional occasion. And South set to wear a special jersey as well with the same logo that the great John Sattler wore and the Bunnies wore on that day in his famous grand final triumph in 1970 when he played with that broken jaw. Good morning, Cookie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. And naturally, devastating news for everyone involved in the club there with the passing of John Sattler. Just as a player there at the club, what did John Sattler mean to the players there?
Yeah, mate, very sad day, obviously, for the club and for the game as well. What an absolute legend for the club and obviously a lot of the stories we hear about that grand final and then playing through that broken jaw, shattered jaw. But just off the field, a couple of times I got to meet him and talk to him how much he loved the club and how much of a gentleman he was off the field. I was in awe the times I got to speak to him. And so he's going to be very sadly missed, but definitely we're going to make sure we go out there this weekend and represent him and what he meant to the club and how much he put his body on the line for the club as well. And I hope we can make him proud this weekend.
He was regarded as one of the toughest blokes to have played the game, Cookie, and that image of him with that broken jaw, it's one that I certainly remember as a kid and one that has always been spoken about. And I'm assuming that'll be something that you'll talk about this week, the fact that he was tough, he was brave, he was a guy that just gave his all for the club, he wanted to win, and you need to show that type of sort of feelings and sentiments this weekend in the game against Manly.
Yeah, no doubt about this weekend. This is like first training session today since obviously we got the news, and no doubt the staff and the coach will talk about all that stuff and share some stories, and we've all seen the footage of that, and you can't really imagine what it'd be like to be in his position when he
what was going through his mind during that grand final, and to be able to continue to play on, not just in that game, but all games. And like we always hear, that he was the toughest and the bravest to ever put on this jersey. And no doubt that we will want to, you know, show how much this club means to us as well by going out there and doing the same thing, and showing him how much he meant to us and to his family as well. So, you know, no doubt we'll get some stories and some motivation from his legacy he left here at the club for this weekend and throughout the year as well.
Cookie, let's talk about the game against the Roosters. What's come from that? What are the areas you guys need to improve this weekend?
Yeah, a little bit similar to Panthers. Definitely an improvement from the Panthers game with our defence. And we're lucky that our defence has probably kept us in the last two games. You know, the Penrith could have blown out a little bit. And the Roosters, we started off quite well, but then we had a lot of errors. I think 14 errors is just way too much. And they're a very good defensive side as well. So we didn't give ourselves much of a chance with the ball. Yet we did come in within 2 points. You know, they did control a lot of that game, but at the moment, we killed ourselves a little bit, shot ourselves in the foot with some penalties and errors, and that's the biggest work on. We're sitting at roughly 62%, I think, for the last two games with the ball. So the positives to take out is our defence, and the errors aren't coming from, you know, running shape or you know, stuff like that. Execution, it's just little ones in the play of the ball, lose on contact. So individual focus for us right across the board.
I know you don't want to use any excuses, Cookie, but I've got to ask, has the weather had anything to do with it? Because I noticed in a lot of the footy, in particular last weekend with the Heat, there was a lot of injuries. There was a lot of errors in most games.
Yeah, I think just going off our game, that, you know, the Roosters had a few drop balls as well. But, yeah, the conditions were a little bit muggy, which makes the ball a little bit slippery. But at the same time, when that happens or when it's pouring down rain, you know, you just got to have that little bit more focus, that maybe take that extra second in the play of the ball to make sure you're holding on to it, maybe carrying it a little bit tighter so it's not getting knocked out so easy. You know, obviously, refs are cracking down a little bit on you know, the raking of the ball. If the hand is in the ruck, but it's not actually raking the ball out, it's on the player who's, you know, who's the attacking player to hold it. So there's a bit more pressure on those guys. But, you know, if it means we're just taking a little bit extra second to make sure we're getting up with the ball and playing it right, you know, our percentage is going to go up and we're going to have more opportunities to get our striking players in the right position to put on points.
Seems to me at the moment, Cookie, a lot of teams have got injury concerns, and when you look through your team in particular, you've lost a lot of strike power up front. You know, how is, you know, some of these players looking, and are they long-term injuries or will they be back sort of next week and the week after?
Yeah, as a hooker, mate, I love my forwards, and we've got a couple of guys I was really happy to see back on the weekend with Harme and Junior. Harme will go through the protocol, the new protocols of the HIA now, 11 days. Junior is a few weeks. Jai, they weren't too happy with his running the other day, so that's been extended as well. Got Liam Knight back in a couple of weeks, I think. So at the moment, it's just all hands on deck and the next man up sort of mentality we've got to have. And, you know, we've got a couple of guys that can play through the middle, but also back row. So that's how we'll have to go until that happens. But, you know, it's just do what we've got to do and, you know, lean on our outside backs a little bit this week as well. They do a great job when needed, because the last couple of weeks we've actually, you know, we've lost players early, which hopefully we just get through a couple of games, get a few wins and injury-free, because, you know, we've had a few in that forwards area. We don't want to lose too many more.
Manly this week, mate. They'll be tough. They're obviously full of confidence. How do you stop them?
Yeah, no, they're playing well. I said it to someone the other day. Just, you know, it's not just all about Tom Trbojevic anymore this year. You know, they're playing quite well right across the park. They've got, you know, Schuster obviously playing well last week. He came back. They've got the back row is doing a great job for him. And Terry Evans obviously steering the side around. So I think they're quite spread across the park, doing a really good job. And not just, you know, Warren, no, I think even Manly fans would be looking at the team, not just hoping Tom Trbojevic plays well, because they're all doing their job and he can chime in and do his part. And they're looking like a complete side at the moment.
He's added another dimension to the team, in particular their attack, Schuster, and I'm sure you would have done or will do a bit of video on him this week. But for a guy that's so big and plays square at the line the way he does, it's actually hard. It's going to be hard for sides to defend him. How are you going to do it? Do that.
It is hard to defend because, like you said, he's big and strong, and he's a threat of running the ball too, and his deception of show and go or the no look pass he has, or really squaring up, very old school way of squaring up the line like he does, and that just makes sure that we've got to be really good from the inside to give our edges a good chance to get a good read on it, because it's going to be a lot of one-on-one tackles out there, and that's what they're obviously trying to create too. They get that one-on-one, we get a bit of momentum, and next thing you know, Shush is jumping out and hitting Tom Travoy a bit short, and he's barging over the line. So they're playing a real powerful game there, and it's going to be a good battle. There's a lot of points to them, so we've got to make sure our defence is on this weekend, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be a big ask for your, like your middles or your that fourth defender to be able to get out and put that pressure on.
Yeah, well, obviously, there's going to be a lot of pressure on our fourth defenders, but it's going to be a lot of work for our middles to make sure that we're providing that inside pressure and not leaning out as well and give up our inside shoulder at the same time. So it's going to be a big ask through the middle, but if we can get that part right, our halves, centres and wingers have been doing a great job of shutting things down and defending. You know, they've got a lot of, they're very smart defenders out there, so we've just got to make sure we do our job in the middle and help our fours out from the inside and out, because they're going to be under a bit of pressure this weekend.
Cookie, just curious, we've been debating here this morning after Felice Kaufusi got 4 weeks last night at the judiciary. I mean, your margin for error to put pressure on is so minimal now, and the consequences are severe. Just curious on your take on it.
There's not much room for error at all. Sort of read a little bit about it. I think the difference between his and Suwali's is, they said there was more force in his one, but so at the same time, it's different sort of scenarios. Of course, there was more force in his one. He's inside pressure the way he did it. But, I had a kick pressure the other day on Sam Walker, and that was just, obviously, when he kicked it, there's not much room for me to, I've got to be smart. I don't want to hit him in the head as well, but it's very easy to slip up and, within a couple of centimetres, could have kicked. I didn't collect him in the head, but it could have been gone a different way. And mine would have been obviously treated very similar to that, because obviously the force was to tackle him as he's trying to kick it. So we've just got to be a lot smarter in how we, just at that last second, making sure we're sort of lowering our target zone. But someone like Felice, who's done a great job of that role of sort of intimidating the other team, and he's contacting, getting them on, lifting the team up there at the Dolphins, they're going to miss him the next couple of weeks. That's for sure.
In saying that, is it fair to say your club isn't overly happy with Victor Radley's hit on Shaq Mitchell? Well, he's tackled there on Shaq Mitchell, which ended up with Shaq getting pretty badly injured and out for a period of time.
Yeah, it's he's worked really hard to get to where he is too, and so it's devastating for him. And I was speaking to one of the reporters the other day, and we've been taught a lot of things in the past and coached a lot of ways with wrestling and all that sort of stuff. And as competitors as well, sometimes in the heat of the battle, you're just trying to find a way to bring a player down. So I'm not, I know it's got to be on the players as well to be careful. But at the same time, I think the only way we can sort of crack down on this and get it out is if the NRL are citing it and finding all these hip drop sort of tackles or anything that's happened in the tackles and bring light to it and crack down on it. And that's how we're going to get rid of it, because I don't really blame Victor for what happened, because I know in that position, sometimes when a big, powerful forward is running, you're just trying to find a way to do your job and stop him. And sometimes you get put in a really difficult position, and you put them in a difficult position just trying to stop him and just being competitive. So I know that he wasn't trying to hurt his ankle in any means at all. So I think that's why it might be obviously a little bit on the players to protect others, but more on, I think the NRL can do a good job and crack down. I think we did, was it last year? I think there was a lot of fines going out for hip drops. I think you just need to ramp that up a little bit just to make sure we don't see any more injuries across the competition.
All right, what have you got for us today?
I'm off to a good start in 0-3, which, like I said, will let me know about it.
Seen Loz's face just light up there.
Great pleasure
in Cookie's struggles.
Well, he's struggling. Hey, look, you know what? The thing you've got to identify, Middo, straight up, is if you're good at it or you're not. And Cookie has explained very well that he's zero from three, but there's a chance this week to make up for it.
There is. It's always next week, and that's where we're at the moment, 0-3. So, a bit like Clarkie's Tigers, which is bad.
Harsh but fair. Harsh but fair. Yeah, I don't have a leg to stand on with the Tigers at the moment, so go for your life. Go for your life, buddy.
Get him on the board.
I heard a little bit of the chat just before I got on, but I think it's got to give them time with the spine they've got. If they really buy into what Appy can do there, and Dewey as well, I think he's a great player missed here. I think they're going to be a great side, so not too much pressure on the team.
Can you just sort of take us through what take our listeners through what it's like when you haven't played a lot of football together, and as a hooker in particular, because Appy has been left stranded there at times, and leaving Tigers away from it. Just your opinion on how long it takes to get those combinations, and how lonely it can feel as a hooker at times when you're unsure of who to give it to.
Oh, definitely, it can take some time, but I feel with the class of Appy and the other players they've got there, they should be able to get that a lot quicker. But I think just the way Tigers have played in the past, which has been a lot off the halves, very halves dominated, I think that's just why they're on the back foot just a little bit. So I don't want to help them out, obviously, too much. But I think just allowing, probably listening to what Appy, what he needs, and getting a little bit flatter with him, and allowing him to build the momentum for them naturally, because that's what he does so well. Like, his deception's the best in the game, and that's what they need to take advantage of, and just allow him to take more probably control out of yardage and run the show a little bit. And then that's when they get on the front foot, those halves will do a good job for them. And they've got some powerful back rollers. So it will just take a little bit of time. And that's why I'm sure they're not too worried at training, because they know they're just working towards something. And obviously we've got some quality coaches there who are going to make sure they come together really well. So, early days, we're talking, Wayne always used to say the comp doesn't start till round five, when everyone's got their fitness up and everyone's sorting their combinations out for the year. So I think there's still plenty of time. Like, you look at us, we're only, one win off better than them at the moment. So there's still everyone just trying to figure themselves out and connect a bit more and see, before they get the season going.
All right, what was that tip?
Sorry, it was race 5, number 8 at Sydney today.
Race 5 on the Kenzo at Randwick, number 8, Bon Vivant for James Cummings and Zach Lloyd in the saddle. $4.20, joint favourite with Tab. Give it strength. Race 5, number 8 for Cookie today. And Cookie, on what I'm sure will be an emotional occasion for your club on Saturday night, good luck and go well.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me, guys. And all thoughts from the club with the Sattler family during this time, mate. So we'll make sure we go out there and represent them well this weekend.
Great stuff. Good on you, Cookie. And don't miss the Bunnies taking on Manly Saturday night, exclusive to Fox League, available on KO. New to KO? Start your free trial. We're going to talk to Harry Johnson-Holmes from the Waratahs shortly. They've got a huge game coming up Friday night at home against the Chiefs, because they've started the season 1-3 after a 34-17 loss to the Hurricanes last week. The Chiefs 4-0. Top of the table to start the season. So Harry Johnson-Holmes, who's just returned a couple of games back after an Achilles injury, a serious injury last year there. So good to see him back. The teams for round 4 named yesterday, or put out, and the Eels have named Ryan Madison on an edge to return in the big game against Penrith tomorrow night. The Storm have named Cameron Munster after that broken finger to play the Tigers. The Cowboys will be without Reuben Cotter. He's got a knee injury against the Titans. What about poor old Sam Verrills as well? Gee, has no luck with injury. He has had surgery on a broken collarbone. He's out for a couple of months.
Yeah, good player, Sammy Verrills. Unfortunately, injuries have sort of affected his performances. Affected his ability to play a sustained period in first grade. He plays really well, and then he suffers an injury, and then he's on the sideline. You'd love to see guys like that just get a decent run at it, because they've got so much to offer. And his first game of the year was very good, and you just want to see guys that have had injuries throughout their career just have the opportunity to string 2 or 3 seasons together, and then we get a better indication of how they're travelling and what they can achieve in the game.
Just noted, thanks for this on the text line. has Loza mentioned called Jakey, the TRL horse that's 2 from 2. Good race horse. 7 in Sydney today.
Well, Mark Newnham actually spoke about it at the lunch too.
Mm. Did.
And thinks it's a very, very good horse. So hopefully can make it 3 in a row. But Cool Jakey was scratched on the weekend. It was going to have a run around.
Going to run in, it. I think it was the Derby Munro.
Well, you're testing me there, Mido.
Yeah, I think it was the Derby Munro.
But race 7 today. So I would think another good chance.
It's in the market, $4.40. Race 7, number 3 on the Kenzo today to jump at 5:15 for the Racing League. Cool Jakey. And this is for the person who has texted in saying, can you please not use the term give it strength? Give it strength. Cut it out, lads, on the text line. Goodness
Why?
Gracious.
Why cut it out? Oh. Who says that? Do you say that?
Oh, apparently we both do.
Oh, do I?
And it's really annoying to
cut it
one
out.
Of our listeners.
Huh? Cut it out. Yeah. Can't
remember
cut it out.
Saying it, but anyway.
Anyway.
That's
I say it probably more, Loz.
Mm. That's annoying?
You're guilty by association.
Obviously, don't listen. I reckon every word I say is more annoying than you saying cut it out.
No, give it strength.
Give it strength.
Yeah.
Give it strength.
Yeah, we've been urged to cut it out by one of our listeners.
Oh, my God. Mm.
Anyway, let's hope Cool Jakey wins for the Racing League this afternoon.
Give that strength. I think I'm going to say it every time now.
Allianz Stadium Friday night. Waratahs up against the Chiefs. And
give them strength, the Waratahs.
Give plenty because they need a win. Big game. And joining us is their prop, Harry Johnson Holmes. Harry, a very good morning to you.
Lads, morning. How are you?
Yeah, great. Thank you. And the Hurricanes game. So you trailed 17-12 right in the game there at halftime. Lost 34-17. What happened? What went wrong there in the second half?
Oh, mate, look, it's obviously, it's frustrating when you find yourself gone in the fight like that. And, you know, it's the kind of, game the Hurricanes away where you need to be in the fight to, up until, 70 minutes to have a crack at winning. And, mate, we just had a few lapses in defence where we just let them get those long-range tries at the end. You know, they're not, massive, defensive errors. It's, it's just one kind of lapse that's let them get a few late tries.
Harry, I feel like we've seen a lot of positives so far this season, but just results aren't going the Waratahs' way. Is that a fair call, or are there areas that you're just not hanging on to momentum? What's the reason you reckon behind that?
Yeah, I think what's been most frustrating for us is that, there's been positives, but it's not as though it's kind of, there's not much satisfaction, obviously, out of having a couple positives for every couple negatives. And, you go close, but you lose the game. So I guess for us it's been hard because we haven't quite gotten that satisfaction yet out of, a game. But the things that are going well for us are probably just, things that are naturally going to happen for us anyway as a good footy team that has good talent. I think the stuff that's going wrong for us is the frustrating stuff where it's our errors, it's our discipline, it's our work rate. All these things that we've actually been really, really good at during the preseason and trials and stuff like that. It's been frustrating, but I think we are kind of taking our medicine and learning from it each week.
Harry, it doesn't get any easier this weekend. You take on the Chiefs, and they're a very, very good side. I mean, how do you stop them? And I watched some highlights yesterday. I'd never heard of this bloke before, but they've got a winger. Jeez, he's a good player. I don't know whether you've seen much of him in the video session, but you'd need to keep an eye on him this week.
Yeah, mate. Well, that's the funny thing about the Chiefs is they've got a lot of those people, eh? They've got a lot of those guys that might not be on the All Blacks radar, or they're just new and they've just come through the program there at the Chiefs, and God, they're just electric. Like their back three, it feels like they're just a factory. They're just always pumping out quality, electric back three players. So, yeah, mate, the wingers are, that's not my domain. I don't have to worry about them too much, hopefully. But they got some big boys through the middle, which is obviously a good combination. Big boys through the middle, fast guys out the back. But, you know, I think for us, yeah, it is a challenge. It's a massive challenge, but I also think we're really relishing at the opportunity to, I guess, take on that underdog status again. And maybe our tote price dropped a little bit too low, and now we're kind of up against it, and we're going to be back home, which is awesome for us as well. So, no, we are excited. I think it's a good test to, a good challenge to show the competition what we're actually capable of.
And what about yourself personally, mate? Second game back from a long-term injury. You started last weekend. You feel as though your fitness is getting there?
Yeah, the lungs weren't too bad in Wellington. I think the weather was helping me out a little bit there. But yeah, mate, it has been a challenge. I haven't actually had any long term injuries up until this Achilles rupture. So it's certainly been different, kind of going from 9 months completely off playing footy, and that long period of time not being able to run, stings you as well. But yeah, I think the lungs are doing all right. We worked pretty hard in that rehab period, but I think it's maybe just a little bit of getting back on the bike and getting the wobbles out of the way. I think I'm not quite happy with where I've gone so far, but yeah, like you said, it's second game back from long term, so hopefully I can get the form back up.
Harry, give us an insight into, I guess, the confidence and ability of young Max Jorgensen, 18 years of age, to come straight out of school and walk in and have the impact he has in such a short space of time. What kind of a kid is he? And just give us an insight into the ability that you see that we probably haven't yet.
Yeah, Jorgo, he's an odd bloke. He's odd in that, like, when you're that kind of kid, with that much talent, you've probably spent a fair bit of time getting told how good you are. You kind of expect, a big head or just some quirk, really. Like, you just expect him to just have something off about him. But he's as normal as they come. I can't get anything out of him. He's not easily rattled. Always giving him a bit of grief at training, trying to see if I can get a bit of a rile out of him. But, mate, he's rock solid. He knows his stuff. He's very meticulous with his detail. He's a good footy player. He's softly spoken. He listens a lot. He's going to have a good future, because I think that's just, talent aside, his attitude's just second to none.
What was it like playing against his old man? I'm sure his old man had a bit of confidence about him.
Yeah, oh, Jorgo, yeah, most definitely. Max is... I shouldn't say this about Peter, but Max is a lot better player than Peter.
Jorgo, next time I see him, he'll help me to say that. But Max is a lot better than Peter.
Oh, that's going to get back to him. Sledge. By the way, Harry, have you met Eddie Jones yet?
Yeah, I bumped into Eddie. He's been around training and stuff.
Say again. Sorry, I missed that.
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
he's been at training a lot.
Yeah. He's come around to train. I think he's done a bit of visiting around some of the super clubs.
Yeah, and you've had one-on-one discussions with him about your prospects and what he expects from you to try and put your name forward for that World Cup squad.
We have kind of had a brief discussion about it was kind of back into my rehab. It was a bit of an update on where I'd where I'm sitting and where I need to get to. So, yeah, it was good.
Harry, just as a front rower, if I said to you, like, what's the best thing that you need to do in a game, is it make sure you get your scrummaging right, or is it an all-round game, getting to different rucks and making sure you've got good aerobic capacity to go from play to play, or is it, as a front rower, just stick to a basic, I just need to be strong in the scrummaging?
Well, yeah, there's probably a lot of differing opinions there, and I think that probably even comes into the geography of it all. Like, you obviously, mate, if you look at the props they got running around in France, or walking around in France, like, they're big units who obviously have a very clear job description. Like, we need you to get us results at the scrum, and
if you're not breaking any land speed records, that's not too much of a concern. But obviously that's now it's a Northern Hemisphere thing. You know, they do have a lot more set piece. They rely on it a lot more. You got wetter games and stuff like that. But that's just how it's played. Whereas, yeah, I guess the Australian and Kiwi teams, the scrum's important because you're obviously going to come up against set piece centric teams anyway. But I guess because our conditions aren't going to mean that we're going to have 20 scrums a game. It does mean that you've got to bring a little something else. I think that's probably a good way to look at it is you've got to be solid at scrum time. If you can get results, that's obviously such a massive positive. But at the end of the day, it's what you can do off the ball to defensively get us outcomes or attacking get us outcomes, and I guess just have that little bit of a extra edge to you that rather than just being able to lock down a good scrum.
Well, Harry, it's been great to see you back and a big night there Friday night at Allianz. Good luck, go well, and hopefully you get maximum points against the Chiefs.
Appreciate it, lads. Thanks for having me.
Brad Davidson, good morning to you, mate. How are you?
Morning, guys. How are we going?
Yeah, really well, thanks. And great to see Tommy Marquand back in the saddle today.
Yeah, he's got a few rides there on the Kensington track today, guys. Back a bit earlier than we did think as well. After that fall in the English Millennium, he copped a pretty nasty shoulder injury, and the report then was basically thinking around 8 weeks, but he's back well ahead of time, so he's got a few rides there today, and no doubt build into the carnival. I'm sure watching Dubai Honor on the weekend would have got him nice and excited. Of course, he'll pilot the import coming into the Queen Elizabeth in a few weeks' time. So I'm sure he'll get some good rides this weekend and building into the carnival. He's just such a strong rider, and whenever he's been out into Australia, he's had a lot of success. So I'm sure he's going to build nicely into the next few weeks.
What's happening with the Golden Slipper winner, Dovo?
He's off to the paddock, Loz. They've decided, instead of going on to the size and races like that, they decided to go to the paddock and let him grow and develop. And not a surprising decision, one that Chris Waller's always takes his time with his horses and doesn't push them too far. They've always thought this horse would be a real three-year-old, so decided to go off to the paddock. He looked like he would really appreciate the step up to 1,400 and a mile, and it was something they were considering. But I suppose once you've got the Golden Slipper, it's such a stallion making race, it's easy just to go to the paddock and let the horse develop and bring him back at three and see what they can do there as well.
The magic man Joe Moreira coming to town.
Yes, that's right. There was talk of this a few weeks ago, and then there wasn't much before yesterday where the story came out that he's coming to Sydney after the Dubai World Cup meeting this Saturday night. So look, no doubt he'll be well sought after by connections. He can ride light, and I think he's already been linked to potentially Fangirl in the Doncaster, but whether that's confirmed or not yet, I'm not sure. But we'll wait and see how that pans out. But yeah, look, he's be an added addition. Of course, we've had the likes of Tom returning today, but Zach Burton over here in recent weeks. It's been great to have these high-quality jockeys, and, of course, Ryan Moore on the weekend. So, Joe Moreira will be very well received, and be fascinating to see how he goes over the next 6 weeks or so, because I think, the plan's to come for about 6 weeks and then head back overseas and then potentially return again if he gets good support in the next 6 weeks or so for a little bit of time. So we'll see how that pans out, but I'm sure you'll get plenty of rides coming up.
What do you like at it's at the Kenzo today, isn't it? Kenzie?
Correct.
Yeah. What do you like there, Dovo?
Racing on the Kenzo. Pretty tough meeting, Loz. A bit of value for me in the last IC things for the John Thompson Yard. I think you'll get a little bit better than the $9.50 on offer at the moment. But, look, just a very good fresh horse. And one of the best first-up stables in Australia. Loves the Kensington track as well. Drawn awkwardly, but I thought they might be getting to the middle of the track by late in the day anyway, and I think she'll get back and rock at home at good odds for us and give us a bit of a sight. I see things in the last.
I see things. So that's $9.50 and $2.80 the place, race 8, number 10. What do you make of actually the Racing League horse, Cool Jakey, in a race 7, which was scratched on Saturday to run today?
Yeah, look, two wins have been terrific, and looks like a horse that just keep on thriving, and Mark Newham said during the week that just loves competition, this horse, and seems to be different on race day. So ran good time the other day as well. So look, needs a bit of luck from the draw, but if it gets it, I think it's right there as the horse to beat.
Will you be doing the form for the Albury Cup on Friday, Davo? Is that on your radar at all? Just Crackers in Albury's asked for your good oil if there's anything yet, but I know that they haven't done the barrier draw yet.
Yeah, yeah, I'll have a good look at the meeting after the field's come out, so we'll see what we can do and provide a bit of info on Friday.
Love it, mate. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks, guys. You too.